we're lucky to be joined in the studio by Dr. Julia Svetliknaya, who is a Russian academic who's been based in the UK for the last 20 years, knew Litvinenko very well, and has views that you might not, in all respects, expect. So, Julia, Litvinenko himself, first of all.
A very complex figure, portrayed as a dissident, yet he wasn't a dissident in this classical sense, rather a fugitive and an ex-FSB, a second-rate sort of enforcer.
Mm. You do not see him, whilst I've no doubt deeply regretting his death, and you did give evidence to the inquiry, you don't see him as, in every respect, though, a victim here. You see him as part of a wider problem, don't you?
Yes, that's right.
Tell us about that wider problem, because he will bring a perspective that we haven't heard much of since this report, and that's why we so wanted you to come on.
Well, let's start with the report. My central argument with this report is that this report tried to make the victims guilty. And who are the victims? There are four of them. Litvinenko, Lugovoy, Kovtun, and Skaramella. Mm. Why are the victims? It's because they all were poisoned and spent some time in hospitals with acute radiation syndrome. Mm. And we're supposed to believe that the only people the Russian state could find are sort of Laurel and Hardy of assassins, mm. the people who poisoned themselves and their wives and with the children popping in the hotel, in the Millennium Hotel. They could do better than that.
Yeah, it's that is a curiosity, isn't it? I mean, I've said earlier on in the show, there are other more easier ways of killing people, and it's impossible to use a poison like that without actually the person who applies the poison being equally at risk as a victim. So what do you think happened then?
Well, the report is trying to portray this as a sort of Mad Hatter's tea party. But instead of Dormouse slipping into the teapot, there's a radioactive isotope. Try to portray this situation. There's a people sitting in the lobby of a Millennium Hotel. A waitress served the teapot. Mm. People are around. Other people are around. Lugovoy's wife is popping in. Lugovoy's children are there. And he's supposed to put liquidized polonium into this teapot in front of everybody. How do you think that's possible?
Well, is it possible that he was lied to? He was perhaps thinking what he was putting in there was a more traditional poison, not radioactive?
Well, it's probable that none of them knew if they were dealing, for instance, this one of the theories, yeah. If they were dealing in this radioactive materials, yes, that's possible. They could have not known the true nature of this. You see, to choose a polonium, which is a highly rare, highly toxic, highly unstable toxin,
but could only come from an official source. That's the point, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it could have come from any research facilities. For instance, like a Weizmann Research Institute or Kurchatov, so there are a few facilities that could...
But, Julie, this is fascinating, but what was going on then? We know that four men were involved in this. We know that one died, and you're saying, which a lot of people may not know, that the two people now, who are regarded by this report as murderers, they themselves suffered the consequences of exposure to this stuff, and you might tell us a bit more about that. But if they weren't out to murder in a crude and clumsy way, Litvinenko, what was going on in that hotel? What were they trying to do? What was there a different thing they were planning then?
Well, I think there was, yes, what was going on, I think, this is one of, I have a two theories running in parallel, which I think plausible. One of them is what was going on. If you look at the report, there's a lot of telephone calls between those men. There's a lot of meetings, but meetings are rather short. 20-30 minutes. They say they're discussing business. What kind of business would you discuss in a very short...
And this involved Litvinenko as well.
Litvinenko as well, in the 20 minutes. It looked to me as they were dealing in something. It's sort of like, I've got the stuff, have you found the buyer? All the short telephone calls, all the short meetings. It's more like a drug dealing sort of stuff is going on. And what I think is what's going on is they had probably Lugovoy and Kovtun brought the substance in the country. And... it's very probable that Litvinenko would say, okay, I find the buyer. And that's why they were handling material back and forward to each other, have you found the buyer? No, And something like that that's what I think was going on. That they try to that's why they're all contaminated. All of them. Because they were probably handling it at the same time. Maybe, and Litvinenko perhaps died because he was a carrier of this container.
Now, obviously, Litvinenko's widow will not like that suggestion, and the MI6 will not like that suggestion. Did you give that evidence to the inquiry? Is that what you said to the inquiry?
Well, they ask, the inquiry asked me about the character, the nature of my meetings with Litvinenko. And yes, they were very interested. The judge was very interested in the blackmail theory.
The blackmail theory. Which is what?
Which is that because Litvinenko told me he was going to blackmail Syria Kremlin officials and other powerful people. He said they've got money, they have to share. That's exactly what he said. And there is this true Russian dissident, Joris Medvedev, who came here in 1973, and he is a radiobiologist. He used to work at the National Energy Institute here. And his theory was that that was the group of blackmailers, and that's exactly why Litvinenko organized them around himself, because he contacted Lugovoy and Kovtun, not the other way around. So he involved those individuals, those criminals, in the project of blackmail, of extorting money, under perhaps of supervision and guidance of Boris Berezovsky, and. It's a very dangerous thing to blackmail very, very wealthy and
This is part of our problem. London is running alive with Russian crooks who made billions ripping off the Russian people after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And they've dumped a lot of their money here and presumably are involved in a lot of dodgy things here.
Oh, yeah. And they don't like Putin because Putin took all their money away. Mm. Of course.
And kept it for himself.
That's a different matter. Of course he did. But, you know, there's another question on that. He's following his ideology. Putin, the only link, for instance, this chapter 11, I call bankruptcy chapter, because it's devoid of any content, really. Conclusions regarding Russian state responsibility. The only link to the Russian state...
This is the report you're quoting.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Yeah. So people understand, because you're obviously a great expert on this, but other people need help for the way in. So this is chapter 11 of the judge's report.
Which said conclusion regarding Russian state responsibility. And the only proof is Putin petulant and sulky behavior after the murder, after this happened. And Putin doesn't need... And they say this is Putin's style. I disagree with that. Mm. Putin does not need to seek extrajudicial methods. He uses judicial methods as weapons. Putin likes order. He does not like chaos. Polonium is chaos. Putin likes to put people in prison for a very long time, and he does not need to send some crooks to slip polonium in somebody's tea.
Now, Julia, we've just had a call in from Gerard Batten, who is one of the UKIP's members of the European Parliament, who also knew Litvinenko. We might get him to join, and then maybe you might like to comment on what he says. Gerard, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming on. You knew Litvinenko. Give us your view.
Well, because I knew him because we were talking about things relevant to the EU and when he fled Russia in the first place. And the message seems to be here that I'm getting from the lady who's speaking that, you know, this was something that they were responsible for themselves. But, of course, this poisoning wasn't the first one that's been done and wasn't the first one to go wrong. There's a very interesting book by a chap called Boris Volodarsky called The KGB's Poison Factory, which outlines how they've been doing this since the 1920s and developing poisons that can't be traced. And each one is different. Each assassination attempt is different, and many of them were successful in the 50s and 60s against dissidents. And of course, there was the one against Viktor Yushchenko, the prior president of the Ukraine, which went badly wrong. He ended up very facially disfigured because of a poison that didn't work the way it was supposed to.
Okay, Joe, let me bring Julia back in. That's Joe Batten, a UKIP MEP. Julia, we all comment on that. This is part of a pattern, is what Gerald is saying. Gerald is saying.
Well, but could hi Gerald. How would you explain then assassins themselves nearly died? You know, what it seems to be here, it's not about the past and what happened in the past. I understand the desire to romanticize the whole affair, and we all have very romantic understanding and linked to this Bulgarian umbrella episode and things like that. But isn't it a bit far-fetched that four people would end up be poisoned By polonium? Don't you think?
Four people weren't poisoned.
Well, they were. They all had acute radiation syndrome.
Yeah, but it's obviously it was incompetent to some extent because it didn't work properly. But Scaramella wasn't poisoned because Scaramella rang me immediately afterwards and gone to hospital and was cleared. And he ended up being implicated in this by the Italians when he had nothing to do with it. He was cleared by the
British. Who is Scaramella, by the way?
Pardon?
No relation of mine. I'm David Mellor. Now, go on. Who is Scaramella?
Scaramella was an Italian who was working for the Mitrokhin Commission in Italy, which was researching how KGB agents were in the Italian political state. That was very unpopular because it was uncovering... Mitrokhin, Vasily Mitrokhin, was a KGB archivist who kept records of all of the agents in the West, amongst other things. And then after the fall of the Soviet Union, fled to the West, and the security services had his files on all the European politicians, including British politicians, who were actually agents of the KGB. And this, the Mitrokhin Commission in Rome was actually looking to this from the Italian aspect. Scaramella worked for Paolo Guzzanti, who was heading it up. And in fact, Alexander Litvinenko told me that the reason that he didn't go and live in Italy is because he was warned by his KGB boss, General, I can't think of his name, Trofimov, not to go in Italy because it was too...
Gerard, hold on there. We want to comment, but I must say... Gerard, give us a moment. We want to bring Julia back in on this. What Gerard is effectively saying, as well as giving us stuff that John le Carré will love to put in his next novel, is that this Scaramella fellow was not ill. Are you certain of your sources that these guys were themselves as almost as polluted as Litvinenko? Which I agree with you, if that's so, does make the whole modus of carrying out the assassination bizarre.
Well... I don't know. Obviously, I've seen the documents. I've seen, for instance, Joris Medvedev show me documents from Italian hospital, for instance, which stated the dose of Scaramella, and that yes, he was admitted with the syndrome. Whether it was a fake or not, I cannot possibly know. I believe it took place, and it very interesting that the major witness here in this case is Scaramella, having been part of an inquiry. And there's almost nothing in this report about Scaramella. Mm. He should be, you know, talking to us about what's happened.
Mm. Yeah, he didn't give evidence.
No, he did not.
Gerard, you obviously...
And he almost was put away immediately and silenced almost immediately after it happened.
Gerard, just give us your opinion, say, of this chap Scaramella and the two alleged assassins. I mean, do you take the view that they did exactly what the judge suggested they did, or do you agree with Julia that this is murky and only part of the murk has so far come out?
No, I agree with. It's taken years for the report to come out and say what everybody knew at the time, immediately after what was happened. How this operation was done was explained to me shortly afterwards by Boris Volodarsky, who himself had been a KGB operative back in the 1980s.
Well, but exactly what Boris Volodarsky knows about.
Hold on a minute, Gerard, because we need it. Gerard, sorry, hold on a minute. We need a dialogue here. Come in, Julia.
Yeah, well, what Boris Volodarsky knows about it, he lives here, he doesn't know anything, he hasn't lived in Russia for how many years, 40, 50?
Yeah, but this is a pattern of poisoning that's gone on since the 1920s. There's nothing new about it, the way that it was done, and Boris Volodarsky was actually a KGB operative. He used to train people to do this type of thing back in the 70s, I suppose, before he left the Soviet Union in the late 80s.
So, Gerard, where we are, and I'm afraid we're already going late to the news, but it's fascinating. We must talk to you about this on another occasion. I just want to ask each of you, in two sentences, two or three sentences, just to sum up your view by saying this. Gerard, what is your view of how Litvinenko died? You think he was murdered by the two individuals, as the judge actually said?
Yes, absolutely. On the orders of the Kremlin. And he was doing that because he was uncovering things that they didn't want to know. And it was part of a long pattern of things that had happened before. It's the way they deal with dissidents. Right.
Thank you very much. That was Gerard Batten.
You get the last word.
That was Gerard Batten, the UKIP MEP. And Kenneth, I cut across you.
Oh, no problem. Julia, you got the last word.
Well, I disagree with Gerald, but it's a democracy, isn't it? I think what's happened is much more sinister and much more complicated. And the real scandal here, it's not the fact that Kremlin may be probably likely, or it's just probable, poisoned a second-rate enforcer who knew very little, and it wasn't a threat at all. And you know, I think what's happened is those four individuals are involved in some sort of plot.
And they were working together.
They were working together. They're part of the same gang of crooks, and they were trying either trading radioactive materials or perhaps were targeted themselves, but all of them. That's why I'd explained that four of them were poisoned.
And Judith,
because they were blackmailing very wealthy people.
Sure.
And may I just quickly say, you know, it's very interesting that this report does not even mention Yukas and the fact that Litvinenko went to Israel to talk to Nevzlin. What Litvinenko says is he went to talk to Nevzlin to sell him the dossier on Yukas. Mm. Why would Nevzlin need this dossier on Yukas? Mm. Nevzlin knows what's going on.
I mean, absolutely.
He went to blackmail Nevzlin. That's more likely.
The last thing I was going to say is, it may be a subject, for another day's conversation, but just in a nutshell, the number of Russian oligarchs, the number of people who have enriched themselves at the expense of the Russian people, what they then do with their money, the use of London for money laundering, how serious a problem, in your view, is that to our country?
I think it's incredibly serious, and you're absolutely right. I agree with you. And the main scandal for me, you might disagree with me, is that trying to get at Russia, British government somehow give passports and start collaborating with crooks like this. Mm. But don't forget, Anglo-Russian relationships are very complex and deep. And don't forget, there's a major peak now up in the space in a Russian rocket trained by Russians, commanded by Russians together. It's very important. I don't believe the bunch of crooks in so far complicated and it was a disastrous situation with polonium. When police interviewed me last year, they told me that they're still visiting people that dying and would die from being poisoned by this polonium, British citizens.
Richard has sent a tweet. LBC, the only thing guaranteed about all this is we won't be told the truth. Robert, you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Can I say, we've run over more than we ever have
but
before.
But we must not stop fighting for it.
But that's because until you came into this studio just now, for the last 10 years, I have always believed what I read in the papers, that it was authorised by the Russian president, and you're the first person to bring doubt to my mind. Julia, thank you for coming in. For all our listeners who've been waiting for the news, well, I'm sorry. The time is now 11:05.